Well, hello and good morning, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Oh, Dana, you're back. And pouring your first cup of the morning, or in your case, probably your third cup of the morning. I know how you are.
I haven't even made the first cup.
Oh, my.
Even though we started the first cup.
Wow. So at least I have a cup of water with some water enhancer in it.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes. Oh, I call it water enhancer. As opposed to the specific Mio product.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mio out there. Some of us buy the store brand water enhancer to save a few dollars.
Okay, water enhancers.
Yeah, you know, well, I like them, you know, because water is water. And, you know, it's kind of boring. And this, you know, sometimes this, the only thing is I've learned over this, and I probably have gone through 100 of these little bottles over the pandemic. Early on, I was doing ones that had caffeine in it, and I hadn't read the label really well. But I would use this, you know, night or day or whatever. So I finally decided to kick myself with that and not add any more caffeine than I needed to. Now I just get the one that has vitamins. So this one is like a vitamin water enhancer. So I got B3, B6, and B12. I assume those are the good vitamins.
Okay. And then, like, what does it taste like?
This one is fruit punch. The other one is the orange tangerine.
Okay.
The strawberry kiwi or something like that is okay, but that one's got caffeine. And then there's another one that's like a black raspberry, I think it is, or something like that. That one's also got caffeine, so I got to watch myself. That, and I found recently, that one tastes really, I know it's chemicals, but it tastes really chemically. So I don't like that one anymore. I don't know what it is. It sits bad on my taste buds.
Okay, it does not agree with you.
No, it doesn't. So that's why if people see me on the Zoom, my water has a bright red color to it.
Like a color to it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Not a glow-in-the-dark color, but a color.
Maybe it looks like it might have a little something, like a little extra.
Yes,
something.
This is not some kind of mixed drink thing.
Okay, got you.
You know,
it's 4 o'clock somewhere. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
4 o'clock. Wow. Is that Dana time or something? It used to be the Jimmy Buffett song is, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well,
cut this early, don't you?
I sure did. Yeah, I shaved off an hour.
Wow.
It didn't come too soon.
You know, he would be very proud of you.
Thank you.
You know, thinking of him, you know, he's got those Margaritaville restaurants.
Yeah, I remember. I think we talked about it during the CISPA conference, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Wow. I think so. And you know why? Because because one of the places that we looked at to do the conference, or we did it many years ago, mm-hmm. in Palm Springs was the Riviera Hotel, which is this hip kind of place with a 1950s vibe, but updated, you know, lots of resort style pools and all. They're now called Margaritaville Hotel.
Okay.
That's why. So I think it's still kind of a hip looking place, you know, a place that's got like a pool table near the lobby and a super hip bar and impossible to find a soda or water machine anywhere in the place, you know. So you literally have to go to the bar to get something.
Okay, yeah. I like that. That is good planning there.
It is. It's
the hotel's part, yeah.
The only bad planning on their part that they don't have control over across the street is, first of all, Billy Reed's great steakhouse, family atmosphere, great food.
So like if you want to go eat, you can.
And right next to that, on your walk across the street, a 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah.
So you want your sodas for cheap, everybody?
There you go.
Go to the 7-Eleven. And I've had to, I had to figure that out because when I went down to the counter and I remember like the first day there because I was there early for the conference and I, oh, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have that. You can always go to the front bar to get a soda. You know, like a $5, you know, 10-ounce, you know, pour of a soda. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, did I not see a 7-Eleven across the street? Okay.
Sure did. Look, you get your like you said, get your soda, your chips.
Yes.
And your cherry Slurpee.
That's right. And then across the other corner, a hotel of a different nature. Okay. It is a clothing optional hotel.
Oh boy. I'll
yes. It was not. Excuse it was not our backup site, so everyone knows that year. But it was funny that I believe it was Brian Dickinson, recently retired from the chancellor's office, told me about that when he was looking for alternative hotel sites because I think he booked late one year, and it wasn't the one that we put on the list. Everybody, I think we had the Marriott or something like a few blocks away. But across the street, he goes, "Did you know?" What's across the street? I'm like, oh, that's an interesting take on a hotel.
Clothing optional.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so their poolside, you know, a little different.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it sounds like it.
I mean, it is Palm Springs. It is hot. And it does get hot. Some people there probably want that in a hotel. Mm-hmm. Their pool, I think that was a hotel that was a kind of a big square with a pool in the middle. I do not remember seeing a pool from the outside. So,
okay.
Just so everyone knows.
And I'm pretty sure that's going to be like an 18 and older type of situation.
Oh, I would assume so too. Yeah.
Okay. Just, you know, just making sure. Yeah.
Well, you know why we bring up this is because me and Dana, before the show, we were talking about ideas for future conferences and all. Now, we do have the CISFA conference for 2022 already pre-booked down in San Diego. They're the hotel we were going to do this year that we moved to next year. And then we're still looking at, you know, 2023, potentially trying to take it back up to the Monterey area if possible, or, you know, maybe Sacramento. We haven't decided that. But we do have San Diego. But I just happen to throw out there, what if, Dana, CISFA and maybe CASFA and maybe even WASFA did a conference at sea?
Yes.
A cruise ship.
On a cruise line, yes.
You know, now that we're talking about the cruise lines are, you know, they're kind of in shambles and in bad territory, you know, thanks to the pandemic. And I know that some of them recently were talking about booking at like 50% capacity, you know, obviously for social distancing and also just to try to get some numbers. So, you know, you think of some of their smaller, large ships. And at 50% capacity, would CASFA, CISFA, and WASFA put together be able to do like a California to Alaska cruise?
That would be so awesome.
Does it sound fun? Now, have you ever done a cruise?
No.
And now I haven't either. But, you know, we had a former employee of ours that retired this December, Martha, who that was her vacationing all the time.
Yes.
I think she went south. I think she went from like California down to Baja, Mexico or something.
Right. That's great.
She would always talk about these. And I understand the pros and cons. You know, you talk to some people, it's like, I don't want to be stuck on a boat with a bunch of people I don't know.
Right.
Or, you know, it's all mediocre food or I don't know what. And then there's those who are really sold on it, like get out, do whatever you want.
Yeah, you absolutely.
You can eat whenever you want. Usually these type of ships, you can drink whenever you want, you know, but you know, as far as a conference site, I mean, maybe it would work, you know, if we could fill up most of a boat as far as what their capacities would be, and have all the financial aid stuff there. I don't know if they're set up for conferences per se.
I was just thinking that, but I know they have to have some type of like common room.
Yeah, they have. They certainly have the entertainment spaces,
right?
That you know, you have like a Cirque du Soleil act, so you have some kind of main auditorium,
right?
That probably fits. I don't know if it fits all of the boats' people, or like a third, like maybe 1,000 seats. I mean, conceivably, they have at least one main entertainment space. They may have an outdoor entertainment space if they do water acts and stuff like that. I think I was watching one of those. How It's Made shows about big boats. And like this one boat that they were putting together has like a high dive act with a pool specifically for that outdoor and like a little amphitheater. Mm-hmm. So there'd be some of those spaces. We'd have to figure out other meeting rooms, might have to be where they eat. But our meeting rooms generally are the type of things where it's a PowerPoint on a screen and someone blathering on a microphone. So I think that, I would think that they could probably accommodate us.
I think so too. And I'm pretty sure there have been other maybe corporations or associations that have
done something like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would think at least someone has tried a retreat.
Yeah.
Right. You take maybe a slightly smaller number, you get 100 employees. So you're not mm-hmm. control of the boat.
Right.
But you at least have like 100 employees out there and you're doing like a more retreat style. But I wonder mm-hmm. if we could pull off a conference. You know, we will definitely have to get incoming president-elect Anna Faye on a future episode again.
We got to sell her on it.
And sell her on looking at this into the future, you know. It wouldn't be her conference. Her conference is the one in 2022, which luckily she's already got the hotel set up. So we're halfway there in a sense. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe on a future one that we explore this. And, you know, we'd have to see, again, is it fiscally makes sense, you know, between,
right.
you know, what is the cost of a cruise compared to 3 to a 4-night stay for a conference? And if we were to combine efforts with CASFA, CISFA, and WASFA, again, purely for numbers, and the fact that we could have all the financial aid people out for a while, you know, pick a deep spot past spring break in your spring semester, and run a 5 or 6 or 7 day cruise slash conference, could it, is it financially just as viable? I guess right. that's a thing. Because, I mean, it's the same thing like the hotels look at.
Mm-hmm. But I think you bring up a good point is that because most of these, most of the cruises there, you know, were greatly affected by the pandemic, for sure. I think economically it could work out.
I would think so. And yeah. I think cost-wise it would be relatively close.
I think so too. You know? So yeah, we have to definitely look. We got to really sell it to her.
Yeah, we do.
We got to really do it. Got to look. Maybe we need to make some charts, some pie charts,
some charts and graphs maybe. Some graphs. And I think that we could get, you know, I know we joked about sponsors being careful. Which sponsors would want to try to sink the boat. So they could then take over all the jobs lost. But I think, you know, we could definitely get corporate sponsorship on this from bigger vendors out there, you know, of software yes. and software and services. Because after all, you got a closed caption audience in the sense that they're there. They can't leave the boat. And then second, I mean, what better way to sponsor a conference that, oh, I work for this company. I have to be on a cruise boat for the conference. Okay. I'll go.
And Alaska is beautiful. So
yeah, I think, yeah, like a California to Alaska cruise.
Yeah.
Get out there on the water, you know, mm-hmm. do it. I don't know, spring or summer, maybe a summertime cruise. I don't know the cruise schedules. That's the whole thing. You don't want to go to Alaska when it's super cold if that's not what people want. Some people want that, but I would think we'd want to pick a more milder weather season.
So that everybody can enjoy it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's because more people are probably doing cruises in the Mediterranean or right. down in the Gulf Coast where you're used to warm weather. Well, we'll carry this forward as a topic for certain. But you know what time it is, Dana? I think it's time for a little musical interlude, and we'll move on to our second cups.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
That's right. It's time to fill back up. Or in Dana's case, at least start the coffee maker, right?
Yes.
You know, get that going.
I might have to bring out the espresso machine this morning.
Okay.
Oh, man. So,
yeah.
So, should we go into why Dana has been gone for four?
You know, we should bring that up before people start making up their own answers. Yes.
So this is a great segue into why I have been on hiatus. So I believe I mentioned to all my brothers and sisters out there listening to us, in my house, we experienced a really bad flood in December. And thank God there was no like significant like damage, but mm-hmm. definitely cosmetically there is damage to our ceiling and to our floor. So we got our ceiling repainted, and then I was out all this time because we were getting our floor redone. We replaced our carpet with actual like wood laminate. So it took some time for it to get installed. So now that there's like a new, with this new flooring and the painted ceiling, like, you know, my mom, for those of you listening, yes, I still stay with my mom. I'm not going anywhere. So with all the newness and the new vibe that the floor has given us and the painted ceiling has given us, my mom is on some, okay, we need to touch up the walls. We need to paint the crown molding to match the floors. And then one of her projects was, you know, to spruce up the kitchen, right?
Okay.
So I am notorious for collecting mugs and like different type of drink machines. So like my espresso maker, I have the Keurig machine.
Yeah, we've talked about the appliance garage idea.
Yes, right. And I sold her on this idea, but I still have all my equipment. It's just, you know, in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, took it upon herself to pack away some of my stuff.
Pack away as in put it in the garage or pack away and call the Goodwill people?
She packed it away and put it down in the garage, right? Because she said there's no room, you know? So hopefully she didn't pack away my espresso machine.
I hope not.
I hope not either.
Otherwise, I know the way your place is laid out, you know, we could start knocking down walls and expand that kitchen.
Man, oh, man. Well, part of why we are doing these upgrades, too, I think just the flood just kind of like pushed us into finally doing these upgrades. But the main reason really is because we do want to, we live in a townhouse, everybody listening. So we want to sell this place and move into an actual house.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And there you'll get your size kitchen that fits everything. Whether you have a 2 or 3 appliance garage.
There we go. It's probably I'm going to have to get like fancy smancy. I'm going to have to get one of those walk-in garages. Like you said, where we knock down a wall and like build some type of pantry looking situation where I can have all the appliances already hooked up and ready to go.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You just have the whole wall of cabinets and then that little door you see, that looks like a door that rolls up. And next thing you know, boom, there you go. Espresso machine. Every toaster, night. Fancy bagel toaster.
Yes.
The bagel buttering machine.
I might even like make myself like a monogram sign on it.
I like that.
DY.
That's right. What's under the DY? Actually, it's a don't ask. Nah, don't ask DY.
Don't ask DY.
That's the espresso machine or Nespresso.
Yes.
Yeah.
So so that's why I've been gone, had all the equipment packed up, and was sentenced to my room.
Well, you know, we were close to having to look at guest hosts because I had a volunteer. You know, one of our long time listeners, my friend Mikey K. I told him, you know, he may want to be ready one of those mornings.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a fun time.
I think he would be, he was more than amenable to it. He goes, I don't know what I'd be talking about. He's not a financial aid person. So, FAFSA, ICER, CADA, EFC, COD, G5, IFAP, FSA, CSAC, all those words. Brand new stuff.
But, it would be a fun show.
We may get him in to join us at least.
Yeah, I think so too. That'd be cool.
I think that'd be a great idea because we do. You know, we are now on episode number 84. Hard to believe, right?
My word, that's something.
Now you know, and I brought up on the screen so me and Dana could look at it. You know, I mean, I think the first 9 to 10 episodes before we got to Dana on episode number 11, it looks like. Said, so let's meet our co-host. as I look at the list, they were all very general stuff about financial aid, the first 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to get it launched. We did this back in July of last year. I mean, we would have launched this back in probably April of 2020, if not for the pandemic. Had all the equipment, right, Dana? We were ready to go almost.
Ready to go in the office, yeah.
Yeah, so, but you know, we've interviewed a lot of people from the association along the way. We've done a lot of news. Try to do that on our Tuesday mornings. Mainly because I take a lot of my Sunday afternoon, probably too much time, whether here or, you know, during the golden days would be at a cigar shop maybe. But we're, you know, as we slowly come out of this and do all the research for the news. You know, we have FSA sends out weekly emails of all the new stuff going on with the federal student aid people. California Student Aid Commission sends out their stuff. So many of our vendors and related suppliers, they have their emails. Inside Higher Ed, Chronicle for Higher Ed, Politico has an Education Beat email, and I put that all together. But then we've had interviews. Remember the time we did acronyms back in, it looks like we did it in November?
Yeah, that was a cool show. Yeah.
If anything, that was good training for people
right.
outside of financial aid to understand all of our acronyms.
And there's a lot of them.
That there are, yeah. So we may, you know, continue to explore a little of that too. But going forward, you know, I'd like us to continue the show at least through my past president year, which would put us into June of 2022. But Dana, what else do you think we should do for future shows? What other ideas do you think pop up to mind?
Definitely, I think we should do another panel like the one we had before.
Our holidays?
Yeah,
get
them back for sure. I wish, my goodness.
Yeah.
I wish we could do a location show. Maybe like, I don't know, maybe when we, you know what I mean? When we're back, maybe we could do something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we could find a space somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that would be so fun. I like the idea of having Mikey K on because he's not really familiar with financial aid, so it would be nice to have like his perspective.
Yeah, and I know he went to college down in Texas, so he might have a perspective on either financial aid or attending college or, you know. It was probably, you know, the same time around me or a little earlier than me because we're in the same age bracket area. But, you know, talk about, you know, going to college and affording college.
His experience.
Yeah, what we've seen over the years. But, I like that idea. So I'll definitely bring that back up to him when I talk to him. I'm sure he'll hear it whenever he downloads this episode because he is a regular listener. So that is always good.
That is awesome. Yeah. So I like the idea of that too, is maybe having someone who is not familiar with the world of financial aid and what their perspective is and, you know, us having that conversation. I like that.
Absolutely.
I was going to also say, I think a fun show would be, and I know we've been trying to do this for some time, is having student workers.
Absolutely.
You know, their perspective as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because, again, you know, we've had some very good ones. I know there some of them like to think that they're shy, but that'd be hard to tell how loud they are.
That's why we haven't had them. Everybody listening is they're a little shy. Yeah.
Well, we could bring that out of them.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I think we've had this conversation before as well, is the individuals who are in the upper echelon of financial aid, like maybe having them come and connect with us and, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think what would be interesting on this show, I think, and I know some people draw ire with him, but Mark Kantrowitz, now again, because he's not a financial aid person, but he's the guy who created finaid.org, They got sold at some point to monster.com. But it was like the first general website back in the late 90s about financial aid. And he literally just compiled topics. He wrote on topics. And he would write regularly on the FinAid-L listserv. That was the old day listserv. It still exists. I still keep the archives because there's always something I dig for about once a year. Ran out of, I think Penn State runs a listserv, but it was like the earliest way for financial aid administrators to ask big and small questions on a national basis with other financial aid people. Because we didn't have all this chat technology, video conferencing technology, and unless you went to a conference, how else to ask a question? Because you don't always want to, you know, and this is good or bad. It's just like with your taxes, you wouldn't just call the IRS to ask them if something's allowable. Everyone treats the U.S. Department of Education a little bit the same. You know, you don't want to call them about something that might be, or bring up the question of, are you doing your job right? You know, think of it that way. So that was why it was like this sounding board. But Mark Kantrowitz, so he was kind of like the early days of that, and he's still involved out there. And he's, I think I brought up during our news hours, our newsy shows, at least a few articles that he's written either for Forbes or Money Magazine. I forget which one. Okay. But he might be one character. I think my former boss, Pat Hurley, who retired a few years ago, but then still, as if she needed more work, would be interim director at a couple schools during this time. Okay. But she's kind of been in financial aid since the earliest of days of it. I'm not trying to date her out as far as how long she's been around or in financial aid, but she has been in financial aid for a very long time. And I've talked to her about maybe doing kind of the history of financial aid. That was her suggestion. So we could have her. Other people that you're thinking of, Dana, that you'd want to see? Because you brought up a great idea, you know, bringing some of these financial aid or upper people in.
You know, nobody comes to mind.
No?
I have to, I don't know. Good idea, but who?
So you have a good concept.
Who do I want to talk to, though? Yeah. Dang, who do I want to talk to?
Exactly.
Everybody. I'm going to talk to everybody. Like,
you know, I don't know if you went the, you know, before we slide into our last sip here, I don't know if you went to college and you would know, but any Thundercats out there? That might be a good interview.
Man. I think I'd lose my mind if we had.
Why don't you ponder on that as we slip into some music, okay?
Steven Berner, if you're listening to this, aka Thundercat, please call me or email us.
Exactly. Well, just like that, then, why don't we slip right into our last sip segment, everybody. Sorry, I had to flip some buttons there.
Yeah.
Get the last sip on. Get the music off. My goodness. Yeah.
Dennis, it's we've had 84 shows. You should know what to do, sir.
I know. You know what it is? It's funny because the item that I use for doing the show on only keeps getting better.
Okay.
And so now there's like these buttons, you know, that you can pre-program with music or sound effects and all that. And you can do multiple banking of them. You know what they have now for it? And I haven't downloaded the software. You can pre-program one of the buttons to be like a radio station bleep button. You know, so if you like, so if you're like trying to do like a live stream or you're doing the recording and you want to bleep someone out because of, you know, use of profanity or whatever, you can now program one of the buttons to do that sound. And then I guess it not only does the sound, but it then cuts the microphone noise, you know, cuts the microphone out. So it's very interesting. You know, I'm not trying to sell you all on this, but people have asked, how do we do this and all? Really briefly, seeing that we're at the end of the show, we won't have time for I Dare You Twos today. I know, but in short, what it is, it's a Rodecaster, R-O-D-E, and the O has one of those like slashes through it, so I assume it's European-style language. But Rode makes a Rodecaster Pro mixer. It's a mixer, recorder, sound effects, all in one, multiple headphone outputs, all of that stuff. And it's a software. The thing that they did right is a lot of it's software-based. So every once in a while they release some new software. It's like, oh, you can do this function or that function. It's just as a product, if you're doing a podcast, and I researched this a couple years ago because this was all pre-pandemic as an idea to do the pod. I researched it to put all the other equipment together can be done, like a regular mixer, recorded to your laptop on some software, all that good stuff, buy the microphone inputs and all that. This was kind of like when this came out, all-in-one, price-wise, just a really great deal. What more can I say? But Dana, I'm going to save us all from not having to do an I Dare You To this week.
Okay.
Because I think time-wise, I think we've given people a lot for today. Okay. What about you?
You know what? Yeah, because I need to move my coffee now.
Yeah, get your coffee. Yeah, that too. I can see you. I'm afraid you're going to fall asleep. So that's all we have time for today, everybody. But don't worry. There's always our next episode. So I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on the What's Brewing CISFA show. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find us on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 84, recorded the morning of Friday, April 23rd, 2021.
Have a great day.
And everybody, have a great weekend.